Who the hell are you? I asked, backing up from the woman. Please, she begged, grabbing my arm. The smell from her was more unbearable up close. Get off me, you old hag! I yelled, pulling myself free. She shushed me loudly. Her eyes appeared wide, scanning the area with paranoia. You want them to hear? Who'll hear? What are you talking about? I asked. I'd only been a few minutes with her, and I'd already begun to become irritated.
Them, she hissed.
I could see the whites of her eyes gleam in the moonlight at her weak attempt to scare me. I shook my head, unmoved. I don't have time for this. I'm really tired, and I've got to get up early. Honestly, I don't care what you do out here, but just stay away from my car. I don't want to catch you near it again, or else I'll report you.
Oh, please don't,
she begged, ready to grab at me again. However, I was unable to avoid her clawing hands this time. Fine, I shot back. Just don't touch me again. I'm leaving now. As I turned to leave, I could see the woman's head sulk to the ground. Normally, this would have been the part where I would have felt sorry. But right now, I didn't care. I was too tired with my mind overwhelmed with the events that had transpired throughout the day. Besides, she was clearly deranged in the head, possibly homeless, or maybe one of those people who lived off the land. I started to walk away when it hit me. I thought about what else she had said earlier. I looked back to still see her eyeing the ground, almost appearing in a trance. I was reluctant to go back, but I had to know. What did you mean, your daughter? How did you know about the book? I asked, approaching her. Without looking up, she answered,
My daughter. I need your help to save her.
Your daughter? Who's your daughter?
You already know of her. Why do you ask me?
She replied, looking up at me. Her eyes relayed a look of solemn. I need to hear it from you, I said. I was sure I knew the answers that she mentioned, but something inside me wanted to hear those words come from her. I wanted to be absolutely sure. Say her name.
It's Victoria, of course,
she said softly. I shook my head in disbelief. But how? You're her mother, but you're supposed to be...
She said you died when she was a child. Is that what she told you?
She scoffed.
It would be like Gary to tell her such a lie.
What?
Yes,
she said stiffly.
He took her from me, but I didn't want to submit to his religion. He banished me.
Well, this couldn't be possible. Victoria's mother was dead, right? But how would I know otherwise? I did notice when I listened closely, I could hear her accent hidden behind her raspy voice. Wait, this man you're talking about, I started. It couldn't have been the same person. Do you mean the Reverend? She didn't answer me immediately. Instead, her eyes wandered off into the trees beyond, but eventually, her head gave a soft nod. I sighed. Look, you said to help your daughter, and that the Reverend took her. Why didn't you just go to the police or something? She chuckled to herself lightly, returning her eyes to mine.
You don't know these people.
I don't know anything, because you're not telling me everything, I replied harshly. My impatience had elevated to annoyance.
All you need to know is that the people you think you know are liars. The Reverend is the worst of them all. They need my daughter. They made her a part of their revolting ritual. I should have never brought her here. I was so weak-minded back then. Damn them, she spat bitterly. I didn't know what to do, but then I saw you arrive. At first, I was unsure what to think of you, yet while watching you with Victoria, I knew it would be you who would help me to do what I couldn't. Take her away from all of this.
It all started to come together. All those times it felt like something or someone was watching me had been her. Yet, still confused. She hadn't really answered my question and only contributed to the pile of others. That's a lot to believe, especially about the others. They don't act the way you make them out to be. Besides, what ritual are you talking about? I asked.
You're very fond of her, aren't you?
She asked, ignoring my question.
Of Victoria?
What? I blurted out. I could feel my cheeks reddening.
I'm glad that you are,
she said, smiling.
It does my heart good to see another care for Victoria as I do. This is the reason why I knew you'd help me. But I had to show you first of what they plan to do. What they've already done. I left that book in your room as proof you saw it. So you now know too.
I was thrown off again. I couldn't believe that she was behind the placement of the book as well. Wait a second. I don't even know what I saw in that book. I couldn't even read the words.
You don't need the words. You saw the pictures, didn't you?
She shot back.
We saw what's been done.
I didn't know what to think. The images on those pages were indeed horrific. I wanted to believe, but another part didn't want to accept it. You mean to tell me that what's going on in Victoria is... I couldn't finish the words.
What can you expect from me, then?
It seems a bit too late now.
There is one thing we can do. I can dispel the ritual, stop it before it's ever completed and that evil is born.
But why haven't you done it already?
Because...
She began.
Because I need access to their room of worship. And last I checked, I lost my key.
She held up her hand for me to see. We could make out a small stump where her ring finger had used to be.
Well, rings are more than a show. I'm sure you know that by now. They are keys. There's a darker secret behind them. They are also a symbol to show your allegiance to the faith by permanently clamping onto the wearer's finger. The only way to remove it is by removing the finger entirely. When they banished me, I was so torn that I bit off my own finger. I didn't want anything on me that was associated with them. That's crazy,
was all I could say. I couldn't fathom someone wanting to risk their finger or any part of their body on the basis of their faith or anything. I've heard of tattoos, but this was way beyond that. I couldn't help but picture the woman clamping down on her finger until it snapped, spitting it out. The very thought made my stomach turn.
Yes, but it was only after so that I wished I hadn't. Could have ended this nightmare years ago, yet I let my anger cloud my judgment. But you're here now, which means there's hope again.
Me, I replied. I don't have a ring either.
I know, but the others do,
she said, smiling.
Do you know Terrence?
I gritted my teeth. How could I not? Prick, I muttered.
Terrence is a lapdog when it comes to the Reverend and the Faith, but he's too much of a pansy to wear the ring like the others. He keeps his on a necklace he wears.
I've seen it, I replied, recalling the times at dinner. How am I supposed to get it? If it's on him.
This is where you come in perfectly. You probably don't see much of everyone throughout the day. That's because there are chores to be done to keep the place up and running. Terrence is a working man. He normally chops up wood or fetches game for the meals. When he bathes afterward, he takes off the necklace. I know this because I used to do the sheets around the living quarters and would see his ring just lying there. This is the best time to do it. He never locks his door at that time either. If you can take his ring at that moment, bring it to me and I will do the rest.
I bit my lip, thinking on it. I don't know. It seems a bit risky. If I get caught, I'm finished and he'll have me sent home instantly.
Then don't get caught. You're the only one who can walk around here easily. If I could do it, I would, but they'd see me on first sight. I was barely able to place the book in your room. Please, you have to do this. For Victoria.
gave off another long sigh before conceding. At that, a smile formed whiter than it had ever been on her face. I could see the many crooked rows of her blackened and yellow teeth.
"Good,"
she said, leaning close to me.
"I've been watching Terrence for a while. He's already chopped off a round of logs good for now, but he'll need to do so again. He does it every 2 days, so the day after tomorrow you'll have to make your move."
As she explained, I nodded. "Once I get it, how will I contact you? Where will I find you?" She paused for a moment before answering.
"Your lamp. If you're able to get the ring, then turn your lamp on and leave it on. I'm always watching, so I'll see it."
I nodded. "Then what?"
"I'll be fine. I've survived this long, so don't worry about me. You should go now. We don't want anyone catching wind of you out here."
"Yeah. Yeah, right," I agreed, turning to leave.
There's one more thing I need to tell you,"
the old woman said. "What is it?" I asked.
"I need you to promise to never mention this meeting to Victoria. She must never know you've seen me."
"What? But Victoria would be thrilled to know you're alive."
"I know she would. Which is why she can't know that I am. Or else she won't want to leave. Can you do that for me?"
I heard her voice quiver off, her eyes become glossy in the moonlight. I swallowed hard and nodded. She returned a grateful nod and faded until I could no longer see her among the shadows. I shivered a little. The chill of the wind was finally getting to me. So I quickly ran back inside and back up to my room. The following day, I started early, as usual, for my work. Throughout it, I thought about the plan. Regardless of how I felt, I knew that I had to make it work. I also knew I had to stall my overall progress. So I made sure to inform Terrence that I would need a few extra days to complete it. My boss didn't pick up when I called, so I left him a message. I made up a BS excuse about needing more time to set up and ensure the system was functioning correctly. After lunch, I proceeded to head to my room to take a nap. Normally, I would have spent this time with Victoria. When I unlocked my door, I heard a grunting sound. The sound was subtle at first and appeared to be coming from the end of the hallway. I paused for a moment, unsure if I had actually heard something. I was ready to shrug it off until I heard it again, but a little louder. Curious, I made my way down the hallway, listening as I did. I stopped at the door I presume it came from and pressed my ear up against it. I heard it again. I took my ear away. This was Victoria's door. Hesitant, I knocked on it lightly. Hey, are you all right in there?" I asked. There was no answer. "Victoria, it's me, Marcus," he continued. I could hear rapid breathing from inside, sounding like hyperventilating. It didn't sound good. Frantically, I knocked on the door with a little more force. "Victoria, are you all right? What's going on in there? Can you let me in, please? Go away," I heard her say in between gasps. I sighed and pressed my head softly up against the door. "Look, I understand you don't want to talk to me, and I don't blame you. I have no right to... I was a jerk back there, and I shouldn't have been trying to pry as I did. In truth, I didn't care about your baby or who the father is. I never did. See, I wanted you to know that I..." The words again failed me. I could see them in my mind, but I couldn't push them out. "I'm sorry," I forced out. I wanted to tell her something else, about how I felt about her. About everything. But the timing didn't feel right. I turned to leave, but stopped when I heard the door open behind me. She had it half-cocked to allow her face to peer through. She stared at me for a moment, as if analyzing my eyes for truth. And finally she opened it fully, walking back into her room. I followed her, closing the door behind me. Her room was nice. Unlike mine, which was bland and almost empty, her room was more cozy. She had a desk filled with books, some open journals, others maybe novels. Her mini dresser was complemented with a vase filled with several flowers, clearly well cared for. Her mini dresser was complemented with a vase filled with several flowers, clearly well cared for. The scent of her perfume lingered in the air. I embraced its smell. A scent I long missed. "What was the noise I heard earlier?" I asked. I thought something was wrong. She walked over to her bed and sat, making a painful face as she did. "I'm fine," she said gravely. "It's just this bloody baby's all." I joined her on the bed. I meant what I said out there. I don't care about it. You don't have to tell me about it at all, either. She kept her gaze away from me, but I could see tears forming in her eyes. "Shut up, Marcus," she said with a quivering lip. "Just shut up." She broke down in tears, cupping her face with her hands. I was bad at handling these kinds of moments. They always felt like they left me feeling awkward, but I gradually reached over to her shoulder to comfort her. She immediately threw herself on me, bawling her eyes out on my chest, and after a good solid 5 minutes, she had finally stopped. Her eyes were reddened, her nose slightly runny. "You said your mother died when you were young," she finally said. "How did she die?" I sighed. She was killed," I answered after a long pause. "Some guy broke into their apartment and shot her."
"Marcus," she said. "I'm so sorry. That must have been devastating for you."
"Yeah, well, I don't remember when it happened. Like I said, I was too young." I could feel her sob a little more on my chest.
"It's my father,"
she finally said, leaning on my shoulder. "Father?" I repeated, confused.
"Yeah, yes. He did this to me,"
she said, looking down at her stomach. My eyes widened as I pulled away.
"Your father did this? Who is he? Who do you think?"
she said harshly, wiping her eyes. I thought about it for a second and immediately my eyes flashed. "The Reverend? Wait, the Reverend is your father?" I asked. I couldn't believe it. Her mother said he took Victoria from her, but mentioned nothing about him being the father as well. Victoria nodded, but then shook her head.
"He's my stepfather. My mother met him after my real father died. If he did this, why didn't you tell anyone?" "Because I couldn't prove it. He drugged me or something, I don't know. At first, I didn't want to say anything, but when I started showing signs of the baby, he went on to tell everyone that it was a miracle, that I was a gift from Linnaeus. And like aimless sheep, they questioned nothing, taking in his poisoned words, but I knew the truth because he was the only one there."
A few more tears fell down her cheeks. I bit my lip when she said this. This part sounded all too familiar. I thought about the book and the image of the man standing with the woman, that hoarded figure behind her. Was it all true, though? She had no memory of the event. Was it possible that this sick action was all just the Reverend's doing? Regardless of which, Victoria's mother was right. These people were monsters. If not that, ignorant. At this point, I wanted to cheer her up. I thought about telling her everything about her mother, but remembered the promise that I had made. Instead, I lifted her chin so that her eyes were looking into my own. I can take you away from this. All we have to do is jump into my car and leave. You'll never have to see this place again. I could see a mixture between happiness and fear in her eyes.
How? Where would we go?
You'd stay with me. I have my own place. It's safe. Trust me.
Marcus.
She spoke softly. A smile gradually formed on her lips.
Yes. Yes, let's do it.
She said, rendering me a tight hug. We should leave tonight.
Tonight?
I repeated.
Yes. After dinner. Any earlier and they'll become suspicious. They always hold their sermons late at night, which gives us enough time between them. We can leave then.
I looked away, trying to find a way to convey my thoughts. I didn't want to reveal the plan or her mother.
What's wrong, Marcus?
How about tomorrow night?
Tomorrow? Why?
Why do we have to stay here another day? Let's leave tonight. No. No, it has to be tomorrow night. I quickly shot back without thinking.
Marcus, I don't understand. Is there something you're not telling me?
I placed my hands on her shoulders firmly, looking her in the eyes. Look, you have to trust me. I have a plan with a friend. They're willing to help, but it has to be tomorrow. Okay? Her eyes were full of so much confusion. I knew she thirsted for answers, but luckily she simply nodded.
Okay. I trust you.
For a second, I began to lean in for a kiss. When we were both startled by an abrupt knocking at the door, I answered it to discover Sophia on the other side.
Mr. Pale?
She said surprisingly. We were beginning to worry about you when we didn't find you in your workspace. Her eyes shifted as the gaze between me and Victoria.
I trust I wasn't interrupting anything.
No, I said, trying to maintain my composure. I was just, I was checking in on Victoria. I turned back to give her a wave and slid past Sophia. Heading down, I glanced down the hall to see her in Victoria's doorway. I didn't want to arouse suspicions, so I continued on and back to the room I was working in. I was so glad that I had patched things up with Victoria. The feeling helped ease my thoughts on the plan. I wondered if we could really pull it off. Leaving the place was one thing, but stealing the ring from that jerk was another. Something broke this mood, though. I was heading back to continue my work when I caught the sight of Terrence walking outside with an axe over his shoulder.
How strange.
There's probably nothing to worry about. The old woman said he chopped every 2 days. You would still need to do it tomorrow. He probably needed it for something else, I assured myself. Though the thought wasn't that reassuring. I decided to keep my eye on him while I worked, just in case. I looked towards the trees, hoping to maybe catch sight of the old woman, but I didn't see anything. I didn't actually believe I would see her, since she had managed to keep herself invisible for years. I was sure, though, that she too was watching everything. I continued working until Sophia came to me. She informed me that my boss had called and was waiting on the phone. Great. Perfect timing as usual, I thought grumpily. What did he want, anyway? She led me back to the phone where I found it sitting off the hook on its side. Apparently he was following up on the message I left and wanted to ensure that I was making progress. I told him that I would have everything up soon, hoping to end the phone call quickly. I noticed a small window in the room and peered out of it. Stretching the phone line as I did, I gazed out, and to my horror, I saw Terrence making his way back. His shirt was fully soaked in sweat. While he was pushing a wheelbarrow full of chopped logs. After dumping the logs off, he made his way around to the front. I felt my heart leap into my throat. In my ear, I could hear my boss going on in another one of his speeches about representing the company. Fuck the company right now, I thought. I had a small window of opportunity, and I was about to miss it. We were completely wrong. I could already hear Terrence slam the front door and proceed up the stairs. I quickly thought of a way to let my boss allow me to hang up, lying that one of my clients had asked for help. Once over, I raced out of the room, nearly smacking into Margaret on the way.
Goodness me! You're running as fast as a fire, Spurge, she exclaimed.
I apologized frantically, my eyes looking down the hallway behind her.
Is everything all right, dear? She asked with a puzzled look.
Yeah, I lied. I need to use the bathroom really bad.
Oh, well, I shouldn't keep you, she replied, holding her hand up to her mouth. I thanked her and raced towards the stairs, stopping immediately before reaching the top.
I cautiously peeked down the hallway. No one was in sight. Where was he? Was he already in his room, or did he enter the bathroom? I crept up the last remaining steps slowly, eventually making my way down the hall. I could hear the sound of water running in the background. Yes, he was in the shower, but for how long? Knowing I didn't have much time, I sped my pace until I reached the door. I opened it quickly, shutting it behind me. Surprisingly, his room was a lot like mine. There wasn't much in it. It was bland and almost empty. Anything he did have, like books, were nicely organized in its place. I began looking around, making sure to return anything I moved back to its original place. I could feel my heart pounding in my chest. Every sound I heard, whether creak or thump, I associated with it being Terrence. I felt like my senses had amplified. I found myself constantly looking towards the door in paranoia, thinking he'd barge through at any minute. I looked through his dresser and all around his bookcase, but found nothing. I started searching the desk, pulling open drawers to see inside. When I opened the last drawer, I froze. Inside, I could make out a familiar object. A gun. It was a revolver. I didn't know the specifics, but it had a very long barrel. I could see the dust that had formed over it clearly. It hadn't been touched in quite a while. I shut the drawer and continued searching around. In the end, I couldn't believe it. The ring wasn't there. But how could it be? I wanted to check over everything again, but a feeling inside urged me to leave. I listened to it and left the room, gently closing the door behind me. I started to head back to my room until I heard a voice call out, "Oi!" I heard, freezing my nerves. I almost shouted in complete terror out of shock. I turned to see a half-robed Terrence dripping in the hallway. A towel was wrapped around his waist, soaking up what little water dripped from his wet body. Sweaty clothes were tightly gripped in a ball in one hand, while the other held his shoes. "What are you doing down here?" he asked sternly. My heart was now knocking against my chest, as if wanting to burst out. "I just needed to use the bathroom," I lied. I didn't realize someone was in until I got down the hall. Terrence squinted hard at me as if trying to figure me out, but finally gestured to the bathroom with his head. "Well, it's free now," he said. I thanked him. I made my way past him. I pushed open the door to the small bathroom, and immediately my eyes lit up. There, sitting on the sink, was the necklace with a ring attached. He had it with him all along. I was close to reaching for it until I heard someone behind me. "There's a blasted thing," Terrence said, moving past me and grabbing it. "All right, all yours now for real," he said, and left. Couldn't believe it. The plan had failed. I wanted to punch the wall or something, even scream out loud, yet when I really thought about it, there was no chance of getting away with it freely. Even if he had left the room, he would have immediately noticed. It wouldn't have been enough time to give to the old woman and leave with Victoria, especially if we planned to leave in the evening. I sighed and began my long walk of defeat back. What could I tell the old woman now? You didn't have an alternate plan. I continued heading downstairs and decided to go back to work. Maybe I could think of something while I did so. Dinner eventually came by, and still, I had no idea what to do. I was sure the old woman had seen my lamp was still off. There lay the failure of the plan. I wondered if she'd possibly come up with a solution of her own.
"Marcus, how far along are you with your work?"
Margaret inquired, pulling me from my thoughts.
"I heard there were minor delays."
Well, I should have everything up and running by tomorrow," I answered.
"Oh, well, that's a dreadful thought. We're going to miss having you around. You're almost like a member of the family now," she said, giving off an unsettling giggle.
"I've actually been meaning to ask why you needed this service anyway. Doesn't seem like you really need it," I brought up.
"On the contrary, my boy," Reverend spoke. "Our faith is a rare breed, but that doesn't mean that there aren't any other inspiring souls out there. We want to be able to reach any and all potential followers. With your help, we can do that and upload our sermons for all to see."
"Oh," I said. "Okay." The mere thought of them uploading footage and their worshiping made me feel uneasy.
"Plus, it brought you to us, Marcus. Having a young lad such as yourself has been truly a pleasure."
I smiled sheepishly and glanced over to Victoria. She appeared to be squinting in pain.
"Are you all right, my dear?"
Margaret asked when she caught sight of this too. Victoria seemed to be suppressing the pain.
Yes,
she replied. I think I just need to lie down for the evening.
Do you need any help?
Sophia offered.
No, I'll be fine. Please, there's no need to worry about me, she said,
excusing herself from the table.
I just need to rest.
I could see her gripping her stomach as she did. I wanted to leave the table as well, but my legs remained frozen, numb to the command from my brain. I just sat there watching her leave. For some reason, I couldn't shake the feeling of discomfort. After dinner, I made my way back to my room. In the hallway, I glanced down towards Victoria's door. What are we gonna do now? The plan had failed. Tomorrow was the day I promised would be our last here. I entered my room, almost slamming the door shut. I could feel tears of anger growing in my eyes. Why did it have to go to hell? Why did these bastards have to ruin everything? And why? Why did I have to fuck it up so badly? I must have eventually passed out from my rage fit because I was soon awakened by the sound of voices and footsteps. The footsteps sounded urgent, rushing from one end of the hall to the next. Without warning, a blood-curdling wail filled the air. It grew so loud that I had to put my hands over my ears. It sounded like a woman's voice. Victoria's. I raced to my door, ready to rip it open, but immediately I stopped myself. I could hear a sound worse than her wail. It was so eerie and frightening that it sent an icy chill down my spine. What I heard was the loud chanting of voices. They spoke in unison, reciting words I couldn't comprehend. I could see a dim light flicker across the door's bottom crack. All it did, I could hear Victoria's moans of pain. The voices grew louder, passing by my door, eventually fading into the distance. I cracked open my door to look out, which let out its signature creak. I was sure it would alert them, and halting it mid-swing, I could see the hallway was still quiet. I opened the door fully, taking a step outside. It was dark and absent a light. Under my shoe, I felt something wet. I took up my phone and used the backlight to get a better view. Some kind of liquid, maybe water. I was ready to believe this thought until I accidentally dropped my phone in it. I quickly grabbed it in a panic, wiping it off, but the liquid seemed only to smear. I took my phone back to my room to see it in better light. It wasn't water. It was blood. My heart skipped at the realization of this. I went back in the hallway using my phone's light again over the liquid. I could make out more of it leading to the stairs. The other end of the hallway showed the trail lead back to Victoria's room, which had its lights on. I swallowed hard and I walked toward it, trying to mentally prepare myself for the worst. I reached it and slowly edged my way in. There was blood there. A trail of it ran from the door up to her bed. The sheets were completely doused in red. I could smell her perfume mixed with smoke and the metallic smell of blood. I felt my stomach give in at the sight. Immediately, I vomited all that I'd eaten. I felt my knees weaken and give way as well, falling to the ground, dropping my phone in the process. I must have blacked out for a few seconds before regaining my awareness. When I regained consciousness, I noticed my phone's backlight about to turn to black. I quickly got up, horrified that I had been laying next to blood. What happened in here? I grabbed my phone, I glanced at the bed, a puddle of red soaked the lower half of the sheets. However, I noticed there was another spot, much smaller, forming near the pillow. I slowly reached for it, unsure of what I was about to see. I couldn't imagine anything worse, but I was wrong. To my dismay, I found a finger. A finger. It was clearly cut off with the tip of its bone sticking out of the reddish-colored flesh. It appeared to be Victoria's. It had to have been. Next to the finger was a small knife with its tip covered in blood. Why did she cut it off? I observed the finger closer and realized the ring, doused in red. She cut off her finger so that I would have it. The key to the congregation room. She must have done so out of desperation. I thought about the pain that she had shown from her contractions at dinner. She must have felt it. It was time. Time for the child. Those sick bastards were going through with their ritual. They didn't care about Victoria. The old woman was right. I had to do something. I promised her that I would get her out of here, that I was going to keep it. I hesitantly picked up her finger. It was still warm, and I placed it in my pocket with care. Racing out of the room, I came to a stop when I remembered the gun kept by Terrence. It was something I was probably going to need. His door was locked when I tried to open it, but I didn't care. I didn't have time to waste and began kicking it until the handle caved in. I pushed it open, running to the desk drawer where I had last seen the gun. I opened it and smiled. It was still there. I grabbed it, feeling its weight fall into my hand. With my thumb, I popped its wheel open and revealed 6 bullets lined in its chamber. Perfect, I thought, and tucked it into the back of my pants. And then I ran out of the room. I got to the bottom of the stairs and noticed that the lobby was dark. Scent of candles in the air. The trail of blood from earlier could be seen, leading from the congregation room. I rested my ear upon the double doors to listen. It was silent. No voices or wails from Victoria. Something wasn't right. I tried the handle, only to find it locked as it always was. I reached into my pocket and pulled out the finger. I checked the small indent on the door and placed it up against it, and twisted it to the right, the way that I remembered Victoria doing so, and instantly, there was a soft click from the door. I pulled at the handle again and could feel the door move. This was it. I placed the finger back in my pocket and peeked through the small crack. All I could see was darkness. I opened the door wider and was met with a warm breeze to my face. With it open, I could see a dim light flickering from the sides. I poked my head in first before completely entering. The light was coming from the candles mounted on the columns near the wall. With it, I could make out the room even more than I had the first time. The entire area looked older in the light. The walls appeared worn out, decayed, almost blackened as if burned. The columns appeared ancient and natural broiled, with cracks and fungus throughout. A deep scent of ash and moisture filled the air. I could now see the seeded hues were carved from stone, similar to the columns. A few were split in areas, almost falling apart. The place looked like it had been there for centuries. The building must have been built around it. In the corner of my eye, I caught sight of a dark figure off to the side. A candlelight flickered across it, producing a vague outline of it. I swallowed hard, peering towards the thing with frightened eyes. Something was there. Something was there, and it was watching me. "Hello?" I called out softly to it. I could feel every hair stand up on my neck. "Hello?" I said again, my voice quivering. The figure gave no answer in return. I slowly walked to it, watching as the light flickered across it with the distance closing between us. I could see its pale face in the light. My heart plummeted. Empty black holes were present where its eyes were supposed to be. The mouth of it was gaped open wide, almost like it was screaming in terror, but no noise had come out. I was ready to bolt out of there until I noticed that it did nothing. Didn't even move. Cautiously, I approached the figure with my hands stretched out. I eased cautiously, half expecting it to lash out at me at any moment. Finally, I touched its surface. When I did, I took a deep sigh of relief. It was only a mask. I picked it up, revealing its disturbing features even more closely. I looked back at the wall to see the figure was, in fact, a black cloak of some kind. I pulled it off, releasing it from the hook, and brought both objects into the light. It was a cloak and a mask, all right, thank goodness. Was this what they wore during their ceremonies? I looked back at the wall to see several other empty hooks lined. Glancing back at the cloak, I noticed a fading image running across it. It's a symbol, but not like the one on the door. I recognized this one. It was an inverted cross. It had chains attached to it as well, hanging from its waistline. Must have been Victoria. Without warning, I was startled by the faint echo of a woman's wails. It was coming from further back in the room. I followed the noise, which brought me to the altar. At the top, I could make out a familiar sight behind the podium. It was the statue from before, still horrid to the eyes as ever. As I climbed the stairs, the image of the statue became more apparent. It still brought an eerie feeling to me, right down to my bones. I couldn't stand the sight of it, and I looked away as I passed it. Behind it, I saw the mouth of a cave. Reaching it, I could see it stretch deep down into the darkness. It was dimly lit by a few candles mounted on the walls, stone steps descending with it. I could feel a warm breeze flowing from it like the breath of a large beast. Every so often, a wail would echo from its depths, sending my heart into its own depths with it. This was crazy. How could all of this be in here? It was clear that this, all of it, was way over my head. I wanted to turn around. God knows I wanted to. But with each wail, I thought of Victoria. I couldn't leave her to suffer. I glanced down at my hands to discover that I was still holding the cloak and the mask. It was a long shot, but I thought if I wore it, it would help me blend in. Even if it bought me only a few minutes, I could use whatever edge I could get. I threw on the cloak. I placed the mask over my face. I took one last breath and began making my descent.